To know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived, this is to have succeeded. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Tennessee Forward Reading. I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. This weekend and the past week has been one of relaxation and naps. I was PTO and able to read and relax enough to enjoy this very thickened view of the New York Times and just binge watching and what I want to watch. I'll be talking about a lot of that and how extreme couponing can change your life. Eating at home is always very interesting. I want to support local restaurants in this pandemic, but sometimes there's so many great things I can cook. I'm also will be reading my final analysis and views of Stamped, as well as Christmas Shopaholics and other Christmas additions to Chatterbooks, as well as shopping with Etsy woes and an update on codes from a Libra's Ship It Back to Dixon writer's block. You will enjoy this episode. I'm hopeful, and I am also hopeful that I will be making a great dent on making your life easier and happier by my little bit of creativity. And thanks. As I remarked at the beginning of the show, I've been off this past week. I've made some very interesting blog posts about Stamped, but I've also done a whole bunch of binge watching. In particular, I've binge watched Extreme Couponing. It was a lot of TLC and ID going on here. From Extreme Couponing to Extreme Cheapskate to Who the Bleep Did I Marry, which I'm watching the last several seasons today. And I find all of them very interesting in the fact that there's all these people that have some serious mental health issues. The obsession that's required to do extreme couponing, the rush that these people get by hoarding and stockpiling thousands and thousands of dollars. On average, some of their stockpiles are worth anywhere between $30,000 to $60,000. Whole buildings, whole basements, all dedicated to an obsession with just obtaining and holding on to it more. One of the ladies said that she was the beginning of the extreme couponing craze, and she has 40 years of coupons. The coupons without expiration dates are like gold in this particular situation. I just think it's crazy. I've never heard tell of anything such as that, but I know my aunt does, and I've actually signed up for a service, and I'm hopeful to give her some extra inserts, because at one point, she had a similar take, or her stockpiles of anything from processed foods to cleaning, and it seems like she may went on a buying jag of air fresheners and hand sanitizer, which has come in handy for the pandemic. And that's the other thing that I wanted to make a remark on, that's where I know where all the toilet paper and tissue and Lysol went. It's in these extreme couponers stockpiles, because it also takes skill to be able and attention to making a concerted effort to save money. It's like money that they would have ordinarily paid something else on, but if you didn't have the money to spend anyways, are they actually seriously putting that $5 to $6 to $7 up to $1,000 haul back in the bank. No, it's just that with only exception of the extreme teenager couponer that the store, they would give them like $100 at a time on overages that you can actually get gift cards to be used in the store in that matter. But some of these people were saying, oh, I saved this amount of money. That means I can afford this. But some of the stuff, it didn't make a whole bunch of sense to me because a whole bunch of the stuff that they were buying, nobody's going to need a male or a female, a male patient or a female patient that has a person that has had hysterectomy is not going to use 10 years of sanitary napkins. I didn't understand that logic. So if you know how much your family makes in a particular month, they don't even make the $500 or have an extra $500. So how can you say that you've saved your money, saved the money, but it's already, but it's money that you never had any in the first place. So I think the whole premise that these, some of these OCD extreme couponers have used is a bit sketch. And I would caution you to not go to those means, especially not here in Northside. We got two grocery stores. Neither one of them double. There are limits in which you can actually, limits on what, how many coupons you can actually use per purchase per household. So if you don't really need 115 containers of yogurt, don't get it. Just because it's free. Or if you don't need a year's supply of newborn diapers, because I'm sorry, kids are out of the newborn period after 30 days. So you're not going to necessarily need it. And some kids grow so fast, they outgrow newborn diapers within the first couple of weeks of life. That, a lot of that stuff doesn't make a whole bunch of sense. Unless you're going to be shopping for charities like Ronald McDonald Houses, the food kitchen, which they need because of everyone actually has need now, or homeless shelters or abuse shelters. Extreme couponing doesn't make a whole bunch of sense. But if you're in the position that I was when I went to the store today, I actually saved $46. I never did it before because I never really had the time. When you actually have a great job in your PTO and you're looking for something to do, and you saved a whole bunch of coupons, you actually have the opportunity, to take a closer look at an app. Publix has done a really good job and I'm giving them a shout out here and they're not paying me for this, but I'm very grateful for the $46 they helped to save me today because that's an entire tank of gas. And when you got a 30 gallon engine, tank, on a big Bubba truck, it actually, every penny helps. And that's what it makes sense to me. You budget, if you're going to budget a certain amount of money for home, for food and for toiletries, that $46, looking at what all of your expenses for a month, what you need to apply that to, that makes sense. For example, if I use my cash card or whatever card, for the particular purchase, because that's what my Exxon app is for, I basically, I'm going to use whatever card I use to purchase the gas. That is $46 that I'm going to apply to that. I know exactly how much money that I make per month. And if you're going to live, especially in this time where I think there are so many factors that make us or should make us very careful in our spendings and living within a budget and living within your means. I don't want to go back to 5 maxed out credit cards. So if I could keep this, live within a certain amount of money, cash is king always, but it's also, there are a lot of places that won't accept cash. Or if you know exactly how much you're going to be spending, making sure you have just that amount of cash at hand. Which is the moving around and getting the ATM that doesn't charge you fees is also a consternation during a pandemic, but it can be done. But the whole thing about using coupons and staying within a budget, from that standpoint, and only and staying within your means and only spending a certain amount of money, if at all, does make sense from an economic standpoint. I read an article today in the New York Times business section about why are the interest rates so low, and there were many factors. Inflation being at a lower level, and the differences in what the Federal Reserve sets as the interest rate actually was actually very fascinating. I think we're with the installation of the new administration finally, and Yellen coming back to the Federal Reserve Bank, we're going to see probably a slight uptick in a realistic portrayal of the interest rate. And that is going to be things like reserves. It seems like the richer are saving their money and they're putting it into, they can be riskier. As far as where their money goes. They're saving it or they're actually investing it for even further gains in the stock market. With that outlook, and even though my credit is going to be better and I'm going to be in a better position because I'm going to have a larger interest rate, when I go to finally purchase a house next year, I'm going to have to look at all of those things. And also, what type of house do I need as a single person? What the pandemic has also showed me that you can have a life. You don't have to do it up big in a whole bunch of square footage. It may be time to downsize. That means me and my other hoarder tendencies, because I have a bunch of collections and just crap in storage right now. But I may not need as much space as I absolutely think. And that is going to go now. I think also waiting a few months, I'm not going to have to buy at the top of the market, because the market is still very much outrageous here in Chattanooga. And for whatever I know, I may not want to have my forever home here. Maybe I want to go a little bit more inland to Nashville or Memphis. I don't know. I think it's safer for me to be here in Chattanooga, but I may change my mind. But that's for me to decide. The other things that I'm actually watching, this extreme cheapskate just will make you mad. That is just me, in my opinion. What is the use of using alternatives for, if you already use recyclable coffee coasters, what is the point of using alternative? Like one lady from used the pillow coverings because she was a flight attendant, would cut them up and use them as coffee makers, turning off all of the electricity, yelling at people for taking over 2 minute showers. You can't even lotion up well and get all in the crevices. Cooking, reusing whatever was dripped off from spaghetti, putting it back in the jar, and then cooking the lasagna with the leftover spaghetti sauce in a dishwasher. A lot of what they were doing in the dumpster diving, if you are running a cooking class, that has health department shutting your ass down at all times. I just was floored at some of the techniques these fools were actually using to save a penny. And this guy basically had scavenged all of his stuff. And so whatever he was being paid for those classes, he wasn't spending, because he definitely wasn't spending it on food or wine. I find that just absolutely disgusting. A lot of Who the Bleep Did I Marry, I do recall the first season, several of the most notorious killers, like Muhammad and the guy that, the shooters, the Parkway shooters, or was, his wife was actually on the show, and basically he went on a rampage just to get, because he was actually coming back across the country to kill her. A lot of domestic violence, there was one female boxer that was in a domestic violence situation. Her husband basically just tried to slice and dice her and shot her with her own weapon. And she had to get away from him. And Amber Fry of Scott Peterson fame, how she basically was used by the cops to set him up and to find Lacey, to get him convicted for Lacey and her unborn fetus, murders. Also, there was a whole bunch of just everyday people that basically gave over their life to people that they hardly knew, signed over houses, signed over businesses, and the person ended up being some type of charlatan. This one guy married this lady, married to her for years, and she was lying about everything, her age, how many times she'd been married. Instead of four, she had been married 10 times. It was absolutely crazy. She was the grandma, gold digger, con artist. But all of these stories and how many episodes, I was like 54 unwatched episodes. You mean there's 54 people with more sensation that are not as sensationalized or we've never heard of, but have been affected by these people. And when you are so trusting and you go from one extreme to the next, over-trusting, and then you get these people, give them all over, and they ended up being some type of con artist. Serial killers, serial murderers, serial rapists, the whole nine. Serial con artists, the whole nine. And no one is exempt from it. I want to tell you about this particular show, because I was doing a lot of Netflix flipping, I call it. This one story about a young woman, a girl like Grace. And I was struck by how young Raven Simone looked just in 2015. It was a young girl, because I think the Grace character was the black girl in Star. But she also was very young, too. Thought it was actually well scripted. It's about a young woman who grows up to a single mother in a Mississippi trailer park. Her mother's Haitian, and how this kid, her best friend, who also because she was outed and bullied, basically killed herself the previous summer, and it was basically an extended hot girl summer for this teenager, poor teenager, black teenager, in the Mississippi Delta. I find it very fascinating to watch that. Also, for our viewing pleasure, there are two amazing movies that I'm thinking, one of them I think is going to be on HBO. No, it's not, actually. Actually, one is. Soul and Kemp Powers feature One Night in Miami, that's going to be directed by Regina King, is supposed to drop December 25th. And I'm actually looking forward to two reasons. One, because Kent Powers he's having a hot black person's year in the pandemic. Everybody's calling him. He has more work than he can do. Taking calls from this people, taking calls from President Obama and Michelle about writing for their channel on Netflix. Not just doing bulk posts and podcasts for free. He's actually getting crazy. I'm sure getting crazy paid for all of this. But his life was one of tragedy. He grew up in Brooklyn, and the death, the accidental death of one of his best friends, Henry. I think that's an assumed name. Has propelled him to push forward because he wanted to just be excellent for the sake of Henry. At the age of 14, against his mother's will, and whose gun was not secured, she also was in the Army Reserves. He was basically showing off the gun to his friends, mimicking loading it and then aiming it and shooting his friend Henry at point blank range, and I think it killed him instantly. He's always felt guilty about that. He hid it for years, and it wasn't until recently that he admitted, after something stupid that Giuliani said, after mayor, he wrote, and the death, one of the many in New York's history, death of an unarmed black man at the hands of the NYPD, and Giuliani coming through and saying this guy was no altar boy because at 14 he was had gotten arrested for robbery, and in fact the kid was an altar boy when he was younger. But that neither go here nor there, that you would he that supposedly justified him being shot for mistaken identity by the NYPD. And he still says stupid shit now too. I thought at one point how I was enamored by everything New York, and especially Giuliani. The last New York mayor that I do give props to is Michael Bloomberg. I don't think you can throw, he's a billionaire, you can't throw that far, but he's more trustworthy than the rest of them fools, I'm just saying. But I say all of that to say is these two major films, I'm looking forward to being released in December, December 25th, because it is December 6th now. Good Lord, time has flown by, hadn't it? In the grand scheme of things, how I miss the movies. But I'm also looking forward to, I have so many subscriptions now, I can't even keep track of. I'm going to have to break down and get Disney Plus, because I do want to see Soul, because this is what is this about? This is the lead character, Joe Gardner, evolved from a white actor to a black jazz pianist with his life hanging in the balance, discovers his reason for living. So it looks like that it started out because this guy's claim to fame is because he actually wrote, and I think he produced or directed, Up. And which is crazy, because I do have that Pandora chart, because I really like that movie. But the original character was actually supposed to be white. It morphed into a black lead character, one of the first protagonists in the studio's 34-year animation history. Different than not just Mulan or, because I don't think Pixar did Mulan, or even that black princess. So I think this is going to be good. And it seems like it has the look and the feel of an adult film, just like Up seems to be. It was more for a cartoon, more for adults than for kids. But I think it's going to probably, these animatrons look just so realistic, and they were going for authenticity, specific authenticities with these particular animation. So I'm thinking I'm going to enjoy looking at or watching it. And then Miami was a script that he had developed for a play that has opened when it was making the rounds on the indie circuit, because it was basically a conversation between Muhammad Ali, who was still Cassius Clay, Malcolm X, and a couple of other memorable characters. Their last conversations during a very tumultuous period in American history. I'm excited that a black female is directing it, and that's Regina King. But I'm also very excited that she basically calls it the writers a love letter to black men, because some of the most powerful black men that are represented in that conversation and in that script are some of the most powerful, positive, negative, potato, potato, whoever you feel about them. Sam Cooke and Jim Brown, my bad. Different parts of their career moving on to the next iteration of themselves. And it's just a love letter to them, and a positive, anything I think that is positive representation of us, you know, I think it's a pretty good deal. And again, it seems like it's actually well scripted, and both are on target for a whole bunch of rewards in the upcoming reward season. And I'm willing to be a part of that history. If I watched it, I know if they got in, and I'll also be able to comment if they get shorted. So the animation, Soul and One Night in Miami are both due to release different platforms on Disney Plus and HBO Max, respectively. And I hope to basically circle back with you guys and review both of those, because I plan on watching both of those. That's going to be a part of my holidays, is streaming, live streaming, whatever, some of the best things. And I'm really excited about both of those. I, as part of my other channel, I comment and have been shopping for Star Trek Discovery memorabilia. And I did something that I hadn't done for a while. I ordered a whole bunch of stuff between Etsy and Amazon to that effect. And one of the things that I bought, and I'll take a picture of it because I was kind of perplexed about what exactly this was. So I get notification from the USPS of the type of mail that I get. So when I saw the scan image of this, I was like, wait, what? Who is this? And is it some type of weird letter? The C's that they were talking to us about a few months ago from China. But no, it was from some dude in West Virginia. It was just a nondescript business envelope inside, stuck with artist or painter's tape. That blue painter's tape was some magnets, a oval-shaped piece of plastic. And the part that you have to glue to the back of the faux badge, Discovery badge, and attach those magnets. I was like, what the freak? I went back to Etsy to something designer. And I was like, wait a minute. It's not the same picture that I saw. I wanted the badge that the retrofitted Discovery, the new crew members. It's not just a communications badge. This allows them to basically, in the future it is, in 35th, 6th century, it allows them to transport from place to place. You can also have a virtual screen that uses programmable matter, and the design of it was a little bit different than the current Arrow. It was gold. It was just really pretty. Gold and black. It was beautiful. But that was the finished product. Number one, they said that they updated it with more files of what and your needs about what you're going to have to do, which is going to require that you go take a trip to Michael's or to Hobby Lobby to get the paint and to be able to, so it can dry, so it can look at all like that picture in the picture that dominates this ad on Etsy. One, I was going to drag them for false advertising, but then I realized that I had ordered it on my phone and I hadn't scrolled all the way down to the end. I was just excited that they said about five people, there's only limited supply and everybody got it in their basket. So I wanted to basically order it before it basically disappeared. So I don't recall completely scrolling down and being realistic because one of the reviews was like, it was unfinished, but it's easy to do and it's actually good for the value. What I received, what I was expecting, what I received was a piece of plastic with some etchings in it that didn't look at all like what was advertised. It wasn't completely false advertising because it was the illness was on me to scroll all the way down and read it in its totality. So nerds to them, nerds to this designer for the faux crap that you actually sold. And I am going to drag you a little bit because what you sent me was whacked. I'm going to probably keep it just enough to take the picture, and I'm probably going to toss the whole thing into the garbage. How are you going to send somebody with an index card, some painter's tape, and some police to pass against some magnets? Boy, bye. You tripping. You didn't even put in the box, like, and it was handwritten. That was the other thing. It wasn't even pre-printed. It was handwritten. And also some suggestions on the paint I should use to get it to look at all like the picture you had on your site. Oh my God. I'm glad it was only 15 bones. I probably paid more for shipping, but it was ridiculous. He stuck it in a business envelope, charged me a certain amount of money and sent it through USPS for $2 some change because of the weight, caused them to probably charge you some more. Rip off. Plain and simple. I'm going to definitely put that my little review on my site because I doubt if they'll let post it because it's going to be pretty negative on Etsy. But I am going to connect back to so he can at least read the notes how I did not view his okie doke on this piece of plastic he charged me for. This past Halloween, at Thanksgiving season, in lieu of me being a Star Trek super fan, and this is what you get when you pay somebody sight unseen, because again, not even close to what was advertised on his site, and I actually do have other, badges that I've bought with 100% confidence. So when I received this, it was completely unexpected. He tried me, but I am glad it was only 15 bones. Just buyers beware. Make sure you read the entire description and even reviews realistically, because I definitely wouldn't have bought this if I had known this black piece of plastic is what I was going to receive.
With so much drama in the LPCA, it's kinda hard being Snoop D-O-double-G, but I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky ass shit like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G's and make a few ends as I breeze through. 2 in the morning and the morning still jumping cause my mama ain't home. I got bitches in the living room getting it on and they ain't getting the hell out till 6 in the morning. So what you gonna do? Shit, I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too. So turn off the lights and close the door. But for what?
We don't love the hoes, yeah.
So we gon' smoke an ounce to this. G's up, hoes down, why you motherfuckers bounce to this?
Rolling down the street, smoking mental, sipping on gin and juice.
Laid back. So that's just a love something to nod your heads to. Oh, that was so much fun, y'all. People always ask me what I'm drinking or what's in the cocktail. It's usually a gin-containing cocktail. And this particular Sunday, gin and juice is just on the top of the rotation. But I wish I could actually get a sponsorship by Bombay Sapphire or even Tanqueray or Beefeater, because that would be a lot of fun to do. Maybe I'll write to Uncle Nearest or even Jack Daniels for that type of sponsorship opportunity, because I absolutely drink it, and why not promote it on the show and have them pay me for it? But I digress. When you are actually at home, you do spend a lot of time cooking for yourself. I would like to support as many local restaurants as possible, but so I won't get exposed to a whole bunch of ish. It's just easier for me to cook and make creations in my house. Famously, I'm known on Instagram, I don't know famously or infamously, with my iPhone taken arrange ramen dishes. And this particular Sunday and the last couple of days have been no exception. However, I have been reading in this week's New York Times edition. I usually blow past this. It's the at home, and I'm like, well, a lot of this doesn't apply to me, and I've been basically working from home since last summer. So it's just another Sunday. But they did actually have five dishes to cook this week. And several of them, I actually have the ingredients for, with the exception of the Tunisian shakshuka with shrimp. Not making this because it requires 85 different ingredients that 80 of them I don't have, and I know I would only need them to make this dish. But I do think I did buy some harissa, and I'm going to have to figure out something to do with that. This mushrooms and toast, I actually have the ingredients for this right now. I do have some, did I get those portobello mushrooms? I don't recall. No, I did not get the two packages of portobello mushrooms in my only excursion out to this week. For the first time, I created a list of things, and as a partial extreme couponer, I rolled up into Publix this early this morning. Didn't forget all of my coupons. I had a printed out Excel spreadsheet, and with the locations of those of the items, stuck to the list. Only added a couple of things because I realized that my bath sponges were disgusting, and that whole do-rag turban thing was also the bomb too. But just a couple of things on Publix. The Publix app, I think, has been massively upgraded in the 4 years since I first downloaded it. It has a great shopping list, but also it seems to be integrated with RetailMeNot and other inserts that has all of the deals. Not only do they have the weekly specials from their insert, their circular, but they also are coordinated with other couponing sites. And they also have not only the ability to tell you where the items are located in the store, with the rare exception that you can't find it, but it gives you, it will tell you within the app itself if it is on special and how much the necessary, unless you clip coupons associating it with the items in your on your list. And then it keeps you from actually having to actually have the paper coupon. So when I was in self-checkout today, number one, in self-checkout, they won't allow you to actually do a split payment because I was finally going to be able to use my cash, but instead I have to go to the ATM because I was way short. But it will take off at the end of your order, everything that you've actually clipped and associated items within the app, as well as take into consideration everything that you, if you've actually purchased it, and it's on sale or it's represented like 2-for-1 or 3-for-3 or whatever. So it does behoove you, if you have actually the time, to make a list. Keep on a budget, make the list, research it, and associate the coupons with your purchases. You could actually save a whole bunch of money, because that's exactly what I saved today. And I'm going to put that on and give them a big shout out. I really like the Publix app. They also make it really easy because I usually only get either delivery or curbside pickup since the COVID epidemic started, and I've been back here full time. But I liked that if you were to go in with the purpose, one, go first thing in the morning, and then two, create your list using the Publix app, because it tells you directly where your items are, what aisle they're on. So you get in and you get out. Boom. 100% done. And it also, I like the couponing feature of it, because it associates the coupons with it. So I think that's pretty cool. Getting back to five dishes to cook this week, I'm down to maybe three or four. This mushrooms on toast is because I actually have this, the ingredients to this, the unsalted butter, the mushrooms. I got the cremini mushrooms. I mean, I'm not going to be able to add as many to my beef short ribs. The thyme, the garlic, always. I think I'm going to leave out sherry because I don't like cooking with alcohol. I think I have some creme fraiche left over from, which I didn't use, from Blue Apron. I'm going to need to break up with Blue Apron, y'all, because they're recipes have been whacked as of late. I'm going to be using a couple of slices of the pumpernickel bread before I, or the rye bread. I think you could do it with either, before I freeze the rest of it. And also I always have parsley. The pasta prosciutto, nah, 900 different, 900 different ingredients. I probably would have to go back to the store anyways, because they actually have anchovy fillets. I haven't had anything with sardines or anchovies in a minute. I'm not adding capers, because again, you don't need to put fucking capers in everything. I could probably make this, and I do have the spaghetti, Andrea pasta, but leaving off the capers. I need to get the plum tomatoes. I think I got, I got the parsley, oregano, and basil. Oh, I can hook this up too. That's actually a good departure, because I can actually make this tomorrow and eat the rest of my fish that I made. I baked some cod in a bed of herbs, which was the bomb. Black pepper beef and cabbage stir fry. This requires whole black peppercorns. I'm probably going to grate those up. I got the sugar. I got the garlic, sirloin steak, and scallions. And then there is the sheet pan chicken with bok choy. Bok choy, I actually have some Chinese cabbage, which is frozen. Don't need to buy any of that. And I have the chicken. I have chicken breasts. They call for chicken thighs. Not using safflower or Komodo oil, because I think there's some from previously from someone else, but I think I'll actually ignore that and use olive oil. I got ginger. And I got the scallions, if I don't use them up in another meal. And they said you can basically turn the leftovers into chicken salad sandwiches. Cool. But anyways, I think these recipes are actually pretty bomb. I'm going to end it all this today, and I'll post the web link to the recipes from the New York Times in today's notes for those that daring enough to try these at home. And I'm hoping the pictures will entice you to actually cook more at home. I'm also going to be cooking using my beautiful purple La Crosette Dutch oven because I braised some beef short ribs today. I'm having a little bit of broccolatini. And yes, that is macaroni cheesy mac. Very processed, but I wanted something just to be kind of, it was a throwback to something back in the day. As I was saying, in Extreme Couponers, you see all of those women and men, kids, having all these processed foods. But this is one of those processed foods that I actually did get buy one, get one free. I had to go for it. And I'm so excited about, number one, utilizing my plant-based milk, see how that does it. I'm thinking I'm actually going to mix it up in my pie. No, I'm not going to do it that way because I don't think that's going to cook right. Because I think I would need to use up both packages. But I'm planning on using my plant-based milk, and I'll cook it on the stovetop instead of baking it. I think it's going to be good. In addition to that and the broccolatini that I'm going to braise in olive oil and garlic, fresh cut garlic. I use a lot of minced and cut garlic in this house, as well as my favorite vegetable, which has been soaking in salted water. That has two mechanisms to not only kill pathogens and slugs that I may have missed, but also the salt actually gets into the broccolatini itself. I don't have to add a lot extra, but also just gives it another dynamic. And I'm really excited about how that's going to taste. So it's about to go down in the Baxter household. And if you will also have cooked or will be cooking any of the things that I've mentioned on the show, or you just want to show off, hit me up at Tenfro is reading on Instagram, or give me a link to your Instagram pages or even your blog pages. Leave the information in the notes following the publication of the show. And so we could just compare good pictures and beautiful pictures that'll make people want to lick their screen. So this is the premise of me starting my podcast, is this particular section Tenfro is reading. And in this case, it's my analysis on the book Stamped and other conclusions. I had gotten out of sequence and posted, and I think I read part four last week, but my exegete of section four of the book, but I had to go back because I realized I hadn't said anything about section three. The way the book itself by Ibram X. Kendi and the other author is Jason Reynolds. They've sectioned it off in five different sections, not including the introduction, the epilogue, and prologue. And each section is actually chronological. Section three is 1826 to 1879. I titled this paragraph or series of paragraphs, Honest Abe, the Last Partially Trustworthy Republican. I summarized or used portions of Section 3 of this book in a previous podcast, but I don't recall writing an extensive analysis of these chapters. This time period spans the Georgian to the beginning of the Victorian period, through the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and the Deconstruction period after the Civil War. That was my play on Reconstruction because Andrew Jackson torpedoed it. My biggest takeaway was confirmation that the slaves were not freed in this country based solely on the horrors of slavery and how morally wrong it was. It was a numbers game, with Lincoln being more concerned about putting poor whites back to work, allowing poor white self-sufficiency, which cannot compete if you have free forced labor. If you're going to have a strong white society that is built on everyone working for their keep, premise partially good, but it did not, or they did not have any idea of what to do with the millions of newly freed slaves. a workforce who also now would compete for jobs, educational opportunities, safe housing, access to healthcare. How do you give rights to a whole population of people that you don't even view as human? I don't recall before this book any discourse taking a hard, long look at Lincoln and his policies. No one wants to really admit the real reason slaves were freed and the backlash from economically and industrial short-sighted states. I also would put forward that a better understanding of these motivations doesn't diminish the stature or prominence of the individual. Lincoln had to figure out how to rule a uniformly racist nation with the tools at his disposal. I honestly believe that Abraham Lincoln was the last Republican worth trusting. His grapple between his urges, instincts, and what was right, I think, led to his depression. He took his position as president seriously, but knew he was limited by his own intellect, information, emotional intelligence, a divided Congress, a very conservative society. Taking an informed look at his writings, policy of the time, etc., is all gained in a deeper understanding of Lincoln, the flawed individual of his time. Section 5, 1963 to today. So this is the end of a joyous literary ride. In summary, of the entirety of this book is basically a call-out book on racism. There were so many key takeaways, acknowledgement of the insidious nature of racism from this period of time, of the beginning of the civil rights moving up through Obama. Racism exists. It has influenced political parties, legislation, subsequent amendments from the beginning of time of the founding of this country. It rears its ugly head every century. We do things half-assed, of course, like Reconstruction, and then we torpedo it. We try with the civil rights legislation that actually started with Harry Truman, then we torpedo it. We allow the Kennedy administration to start the discussion, and then we assassinate both of those brothers. We finally have legislation like affirmative action to give us equal access to governmental jobs and access to higher education, and we torpedo it. Then we have people like Reagan and his Reaganomics, and then both of the George Bushes, and then even Clinton. They had specific policies like war on drugs, law and order legislation, reversal of affirmative action, as well as stripping the teeth from the Voter Rights Bill, all disproportionately affecting Black and brown people, leading to mass incarceration, over-policing, crushing poverty, increased criminal activity, increased drug abuse, therefore leading to, again, mass incarceration through over-policing, inequality in the bonding system, inequality in sentencing, and then blaming the affected for those issues. That has never changed. At the root of all these issues has been perpetuated by these issues is racism. That is the slimy bottom to all of these realities until we look at the root of these issues. We never are going to solve these issues. Obama, hyperbole or fact. I'm a complete Obama stan. I voted for him twice, stood in line for hours to vote early, and it was my honor to do so. I would have never thought in my lifetime to see a Black man of his intellect living to lead this country. He had a lot to fix. He inherited an economy that was in shambles, large industry on the edge of bankruptcy, and truly social unrest. He handled it with elegance and intellect, strategy for that. We had so many great things. A technological bill that forced healthcare to come up to the 21st century. Having healthcare for all and making it illegal not to have healthcare insurance. This was a period of time where he definitely would have needed 8 more years to shore up the economy and shore up Obamacare as it is 8 years because it was just not enough. And I disagree with the book on that. He basically came out of nowhere because it would appear that his steps were ordered and everything he did from the grassroots campaigning as a state senator, then becoming a U.S. senator, the only Black senator in his period of time, was what was preparing him for a greater stage and to lead this country. I don't think he took any of it lightly. He also felt that having the presidency was an honor and he understood that duty. if I had the limited intellect and I had some type of little hand syndrome that our current occupant of the White House has, how can you follow up greatness? So you do all you can to dismantle his legacy, some great climate change control things that would have shored up our things that would have shored up the economy, whole organizations for public health that we need at this time, just because you feel some kind of way of how great he actually was, and you do so gleefully, which doesn't make sense to me, destroying the country just because you know you're nowhere near and could never be at this man's level. I realize the election of Obama pissed off every grand dragon of the KKK, every white supremacist, every international hater. He represented everything that we were supposed to be. The idealized America is why Obama representative, he was a brilliant, well-spoken, strategic, true leader, but no one would give him his props because he was a black man. No, I don't mean this to be the introduction to the 10-pound book, A Promised Land, but it's a great segue because I'm going to read and talk about that particular 702-page tome in the upcoming episodes of my podcast. And I'm throwing him a big ups. So there you go. I kind of also disagree that he was at the end an assimilator. I think he had to find some progressive middle ground to get the work done by any means necessary. Selectively picking your battles because of nasty obstructionist senators like McConnell and Graham. But he did accomplish a lot. Obamacare, climate change, control of nuclear arms, international policy and relationships and financial success was astounding. We have watched 4 years of a continued reversal just because this black man made us act right for 8 years. We were set on track to truly making this country great, and it got all torpedoed because of spite and, again, true classism and racism and every ism you can think of. We see obstruction upon obstruction as there's been a power grab. But again, those times are coming to an end. I have hope again with this next administration. I also hope because the race for political unity is not over, but I do realize that the current people in charge and the current makeup of the Senate has to flip. The work that is required to end racism, I think these conservative MAGA fools are not equipped to do the work necessary for an intellectual standpoint. Put your bifocals on and general call to action. This book calls out all of us to do the work to become an anti-racist. You must take a close look at everything. My call to action was reading more about history and then realizing just how whitewashed it is. Pun intended. The adage of being colorblind is not helping to stave off racism. Recognizing someone's color and all the implications of that color are key to making informed decisions or to say the right thing. I'm taking a closer look at what exactly is reparations. Where would you start to repay us back for hundreds of years or almost a two millennium of slavery? Contrary codes based on race, voting inequality, educational inequality. Why didn't I reread this? Housing inequality, healthcare inequality, wealth inequality. Where exactly would you start? Is it a monetary value or is it services or reversing every bit of legislation and policy that impinges on our inalienable rights? First, we must remove racist vocabulary from our vocabulary. For example, blacklisting, blackball, minorities are not minor. And looking at the substitutions of synonyms that mean the same racist or have the same racist intent. Being intentional about equality that doesn't leave out women, because black women like myself have that can-do attitude, but there are also other brown people that have the same type of issues as well as other marginalized groups from the LGBTQ community that all need to be in this conversation. Do I expect major backlash? Of course I do. There are over 75 million people that voted for that MAGA fool and are okay with the status quo. These people are disturbing in the fact that they have money and they have positions of power. What lies before us can seem daunting. All I can do is prepare my mind, shore up my finances, because I will not go quietly into the light because they aren't. And I think what compounds or reinforces my views is this week's in review or business review section about Google went too far. There is even inequality in artificial intelligence. We basically put our racist intentions and ideals, even build algorithms to propagate racist intents. I just thought that completely blew my mind. So until we do the work, until there's changes we're made, the technology is going to continue to reflect the art, supposedly, and beauty, and those things are going to continue to affect this blight of racism. We're winding down to the last part, but it's not the least part of the episode. I read so much, and I'm interested in so many different topics. Just today, I found out and had to read, how exactly is buttermilk made? Buttermilk is a composite. It's adding acid, either vinegar or lemon, to even at some time point, milk. Regular pasteurized milk, it curdles it and it sets it, and that's why the increased acidic content is perfect to marinate chicken as well as, in my case, beef short ribs in. I learned that from salt, fat, acid, and heat. It's a little trick. I have also found that you don't actually have to add more salt to the concoction, I don't believe, because as if you use the cultured buttermilk, which is they introduce a certain type of bacteria in to create that concoction, the acidic concoction, to break it down, I think one of the byproducts is sodium. So it sets up a different dynamic as far as the flavoring of the meat. I actually seared it and then I put it in my beautiful Dutch oven. But so besides reading about racism and anti-racism and non-whitewash history, I have moved on to more frivolous things. Sophie Kinsella's Christmas Shopaholic, Becky Bloomwood is back now shopping off of discounted sites and thinks she's saving the world one purse at a time, which I just find completely hilarious. As well as there's a little girl, Minnie, involved, as well as her penny-pinching half-sister, Jess. I'm excited about reading what she's up to. She's back in England, giving the shopping world a whirl. She and Suze, her best friend, are working in the gift shop that's attached to Suze's estate. So I think it is high time or interesting that she is back doing what she does best, and I'm sure it's going to have hilarious repercussions as far as her shopping excursions. This week's book review has so many great reviews and possibilities for any book reader that you may have, and I'll be continuing to add selections from my already burgeoning online bookstore. There's a whole bunch of books for kids. Kamala Harris, Rooted in Justice, by Nikki Grimes and Laura Friedman. The American Dream Belongs to Us All, you damn Skippy. Unicorns Are the Worst by Alex Willian. Everyone knows unicorns are the worst, or are they? There is Descent, Ruth Bader Ginsburg Makes Her Mark. We celebrate the life of the notorious RBG and share some kindness, bring some light, because giving always makes receiving better. There's a whole spy school series by Stuart Gibbs that I'm going to be adding to the kids section, as well as Oh, the Things We're For. It's about young activism, etc. And then Kristen Harmel's The Book of Names. I think I read about this weeks ago. People have been talking about this for a while. Solutions and Other Problems by Ali Broche. Kind of a comedic look at issues through an eye of a, maybe, I don't know, comedian or wannabe comedian. And then, surprisingly, or maybe not so much society, in the international section, there is a book by a gentleman who is now 98 years old. Was it 92? No, he ain't that old. He is from Japan, but no, he ain't that old. He actually joined the Japanese the military in during war, the last couple of years of the war of World War II, as a pilot. And he's one of the Yokurin. He's one of the last of the kamikazes. It's poignant because the place of the kamikaze in the Japanese history changes. The extreme left wants them gone, and they are extremely pacifistic. And even this particular pilot says he's a pacifist. He doesn't think the Constitution needs to change. But if push comes to shove and he had to do something for his country, he would be up there flying again if they would let him. He, for years, he never revealed to his close friends or even his wife his involvement or his participation in the war as kamikaze. He kept that on the low up until the recent years. And his book was actually published in 2018, but it's just recently been translated from Japanese to English, and it drops in September. And I think I'm going to definitely try all I can to not only purchase this book for my own reading, because I find it interesting. I think the tales of this group of warriors and heroes in their own respect needs to be told and needs to be at the forefront, whether you're on the losing side or the winning side. But he was only 17, and he says he hopes that his memoir will remind them not just of the conflict's cost, but also the humanity of the young men whose lives were sacrificed for it. We were the same age as today's high school students and college freshmen. There wasn't a single person among us who would have decided on their own to die. These men were coerced, young boys really, were coerced into becoming martyrs in the lost cause at the last stages of the war, because it was obvious after we dropped Hiroshima, the bomb of Hiroshima, that it was a wrap. But they weren't going away lightly or quietly into the wind. It wasn't until the emperor declared peace or surrendered. So hats off to this guy. I think it's going to be an interesting read. Even if it's not, I'll let you know either way on upcoming episodes. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Tennessee Fro Was Reading. I want you to check out alibris.com to explore. You can get up to $25 off this weekend. It ends actually tonight only by using the promo code WRAP. That's WRAP to get $2 off of your order of $25 or more. Ribbons to get $8 off. And books, or bow, excuse me, B-O-W, to get $15 off of your order. And I'll actually have these promo codes in the notes to follow. And also, in addition to Tim Fro Got Jokes, Tim Fro Is Reading. If you navigate to www.writersblock.com and use the promo code Black Friday, you can get almost 25% off of your shipping and your order. Or you can use 10%, Tim Fro Is Reading, my promo code to actually get that percentage off. And of course, always, there are still so many dumbasses that need, actually about 74 million of them motherfuckers that need bag of gummy penises. If you use NavigateToShipABagOfDicks.com, this is hilarious, and you enter the promo code MERRYDICK, that is MERRYDICK, to get a percentage off of your order, I think it's shipped anonymously, included a glitter bomb in that mug, as another means of just annoying people, and you'll have the satisfaction that you sent them exactly what they deserve. And that's what'll do it for me. I hope you will navigate back to my other stream, Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy, for a recap of this week's Star Trek Discovery, as well as everything in nerd news. And I hope you enjoyed this episode just as much as I've enjoyed creating it. And thank you for listening.